He promised us that he would be a counselor, a mighty God and a Prince of Peace. He promised us that he would be a Father, and he would love us with a love that would not cease. Well, I tried him and I found his promises are true. He's everything he said that he would be. And the finest words I know could not begin to tell just how much Jesus really means to me. For he's more wonderful than my mind can conceive. He's more wonderful than my heart can believe. He goes beyond my highest hopes and fondest dreams. He's everything that my soul ever longed for, everything he's promised, and so much more, more than amazing, more than marvelous, more than miraculous could ever be. He's more than wonderful. That's what Jesus is to me. I stand amazed to think the King of Glory would come to live within the heart of man. Oh, I marvel just to know he really loves me when I think of who he is and who I am. For he than my mind can conceive. He's more wonderful than my heart can believe. He goes beyond my highest hopes and fondest dreams. He's everything that my soul ever longed for, everything he's promised, and so much more, more than amazing, more than marvelous, more than miraculous could ever be. He's more than wonderful. That's what Jesus is to me. Everything that my soul ever longed for, everything he's promised, and so much more, more than amazing, more than marvelous, more than miraculous could ever be. He's more than wonderful, more than wonderful. That's what Jesus is. That's what Jesus is to me. More than wonderful to me. He's more to me. I allowed to say anything?
Come on. No, come up. I'm going to preach. I don't have to say anything else. I have it all here. My notes are ready. My Bible is open. No, thank you for each and every one of you who are here. Some of you are visiting for the first time. This is not the way things normally go. This is a little unusual. But I do thank you for being here. For all of you who have, over the years, have been friends to us, we thank you for that. And for the family that have shown up, and my father here on the front row, I am really appreciative of all the things that he has done. The glory always goes to God. I would describe him as a punk kid, 17 years old, who walked the aisle of church late one Sunday night, and who trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. That has led to all the things that have happened. Some have been good, some have been bad. I need to tell you that I'm a sinner saved by grace, that it is God's grace, that it is his goodness that has continued to keep us together, pull us together, and cause us to work. And so we appreciate all that God has done for us, and the glory belongs to him, not to anything that we have done. As far as the family of the church is concerned, it just continues to grow and gets better and better over time. I have a small quip for every one of those pictures that you saw. I was telling Michelle down here, every time one would come on, I'd say, "Oh, look, I'm in trouble. Barbara's talking to me again." Or something would happen, or something would come up. The pictures where I had the mop in my hand, that was all staged. I never mopped the floor. When I had the little pounder for the concrete, no, I, you know, that's my key signal thing, is that I don't ever work. So they do that. Passage of scripture that I'd like to share with you as I thought about this particular time. "We know, dear brothers and sisters, that God loves you and has chosen you to be his own people. For when we brought you to the good news, it was not only with words, but also with power, for the Holy Spirit gave you full assurance that what we said was true. And you know that our concern for you from the way we lived when we were with you. So you received the message with joy from the Holy Spirit in spite of the severe suffering it brought you. In this way you have imitated both us and the Lord. As a result, you have become an example to all the believers in Greece throughout both Macedonia and Achaia. And now the word of the Lord is ringing out from you to people everywhere, even beyond Macedonia and Achaia. For wherever you go, we find people telling us about your faith in God. We don't need to tell them about it, for they keep talking about the wonderful welcome you gave us and how you turned from the idols to serve the living and the true God. And they speak of how you are looking forward to the coming of God's Son from heaven, Jesus, whom God raised from the dead. He is the one who has rescued us from the terrors of the coming judgment." I want to read you, and I won't take much longer, Barbara. I'll be short. This letter came about just recently. As a matter of fact, I don't know how recent. I believe, well, actually, July the 24th. "I hope this message finds you all well in Arizona and enjoying the beautiful summer season. After the Arctic blast we had in northeast Pennsylvania this past winter, no one around here is complaining about the heat. Now, you saw up here that we have an old-fashioned Sunday once a year, and I had that goofy hat on, and I'd wear that long black jacket and a white shirt and so forth. And each one of those, I never preach my own message, because I don't know why. I just choose to preach somebody else's message, and so I always go back to the past, somebody who has passed into the Lord's presence, who was a preacher of the old days, and I always re-preach their sermon. I'm sure it doesn't sound like they did it. As a matter of fact, theirs were probably 2 or 3 hours long sometimes, so I shorten them up so that we can get through them. He continues on. This is a gentleman who came to one of those old-fashioned Sundays. "Things are going well with me and far better than I deserve. You will be pleased to hear. I am attending church 3 times per week and really have not been out of church for any time since the last time we saw each other. I am reading my Bible every day, and I'm still on track to read through it 3 times a year. I am going out on door-to-door soul winning once per week, and I preach in the local nursing home the last Sunday of every month. I am not telling you this to boast, but to encourage and thank you all, for I wanted you to know that I did not fall by the wayside and have not lost the joy of salvation. But please keep praying for me. It is important to take heed lest you fall. It was wonderful how everything worked out in September of 2009. That was your old-fashioned Sunday when I showed up covered in sin and looking for light. I found salvation and so much more. I am sorry for the short note. I have been telling myself to write some time now and never find the time to do it. So today, I decided I better write something because a short letter is better than no letter. I will write more soon, and please feel free to contact me at the information below. P.S. Do you happen to have on record what preacher and what or message you preached the day I got saved? On September the 27th, 2009, and then he tells his story, I worked for the United States Forest Service, and probably not as tough as I thought. I was 22 and surrounded by mountains and more wild than some of the fires that I fought. I worked for the Blue Ridge Hotshot Crew and would have died to defend that name. We traveled the country going fire to fire and sleeping under the stars at night. We saw the sights that most never see and thought surely we were living the life. I had lots of money, a few good friends, and would drift wherever I wish. But there was still something missing, and there had to be more to life than this. On the last day of the last fire of the last season in the hills overlooking L.A., I fell off a ledge and I busted my knee, an injury that haunts me to this day. So as the rest of the crew went home for the winter to be with their family and friends, I was all alone at the ranger station, excuse me, waiting for surgery and for my knee to mend. Okay. One Sunday I decided to look for a church because at the very least it'll pass the time away. I ended up at the First Baptist Church of Pine. I never forget the next series of events which happened that September day. I heard the gospel, I knew I was lost, but believed, and so I got saved. Things were different from that point on, as my mind was now focused on the things of eternity. Whereas once I thought I was willing to die for a name, now I knew the Savior died for me. I realize now that I can't do it by works. My sin debt was paid by His blood at Calvary. And as it turns out, I'm not quite as tough as I thought, but His grace is sufficient for me. A significant statement of a young man. As a matter of fact, I didn't even know he'd come in that day. I didn't even realize that. I think in the things that we do, that God has a plan and a purpose, and He works it out through each and every one of us on a daily basis. All we have to do is remain faithful. And of course, you surely remember the acrostic FAT. Faithful, available, and teachable. And it becomes so important that that's part of who we are. And I praise the Lord for a church who continues to do that. We won't rest on 30 years of the past and what God has done in the past. We rejoice over that. The Psalms declare that. But it would be a travesty to simply say, well, that was then, and aren't we happy now? What it is that tomorrow is a brand new day. Tomorrow is our opportunity to be faithful and available and teachable. Until the day He takes us home, that's who we are to be. That's what we are to be about. And that's what I appreciate about you, and the things that you have committed to Barb and I, how you have assisted us and helped us, and how in the overall scheme of everything, we have been together and we've served the Lord. And that is so very significant. I still like the words that are found here in this text. And they speak of how you are looking forward to the coming of God's Son from heaven, Jesus, whom God raised from the dead. He is the one who has rescued us from the terrors of the coming judgment. You know, it's never about the man in the pulpit. It's always about the God who runs the heart of the man. And so we have to continue to think of that. We have to continue to remember that. And make that the large part of who we are and what we do every day, every night, every minute of every hour in service to Him. How great that is. I didn't plan these activities, and I didn't plan what I was going to say. Am I supposed to pray? Okay. McKenna, why don't you come up here with me? No, McKenna? I'd really like you to. Come on. You just, okay. We're going to pray. I will thank the Lord for what He has provided for us. Yes, Barbara. Oh, sure. And then I'll pray. Oh, you don't care when I pray. Okay, why don't you come and get ready then? And I'll pray, and then we'll sing the last song. What is the last song? Okay, all right. Okay. While you're coming, let's pray. Lord, in our earthly sense, we seem to mark milestones. And in that same sense, You marked out milestones as well in the lives of the nation of Israel and in the people who followed You in the New Testament. And yet, Father, in a real sense, it is all eternity and what You were doing and what You were accomplishing. And Father, we want to thank You for the years that You've given to us, for the point of salvation, in which we recognized our sinfulness and we chose to become a follower of Jesus Christ, forsaking the old life and choosing the new, realizing that we were passing from death to life, and it was Jesus Christ who offers us that life, that it is through Him that we come to recognize the awesomeness of our God. In all of Your power and Your majesty, Your greatness, but also, Father, in the still quiet moments when You reach deep into our heart. And just between me and You, we share the great love we share our lives. And we hear from He who loved us more than anyone else. And that we in turn offer our worship and our devotion and our praise. Father, thank You for these who are gathered this day. It'll just be another day years from now. Yet, Father, maybe someone would have a renewal of heart and spirit. Maybe someone would choose this day for the first time to trust Jesus Christ. For there is no greater miracle on the face of the earth than the heart that is touched by God. Father, thank You for those who have prepared the food for us, for the friendship and the fellowship that we will share together as we go to the back and as we minister to one another. May the things that we say, the things that we do, reflect our great love for the Lord Jesus Christ. May we be reflectors of Your strength and of Your power, of Your sensitivity, and of Your compassion for us. Father, we commit this time, this day, this hour, this week to You for Your use. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.